Well, good morning. It is so good to be here. I get to speak all over the world, literally, and I don't mind telling you, this is my favorite venue, this and a place called Kingdom Bound. I love being here, and I'm so glad so many are here, and we're going to have a good day. I'm a Williamsville, New York boy, grew up and made good, finally. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a minute. I've been married to the same woman for 52 years in a row. And she is one lucky woman, that's all I can tell you. She married a hunk of burning love. And we have five kids. We had a little surprise. Anybody have a surprise? We had one at 42, and then we had the shocker at 48. And my wife's recovering. She's doing well. She comes home and visits us on the weekends. Anyway, it's just a pleasure to be here. I have a website called Birth Order Guy. I always forget to tell people that, birthorderguy.com, where there's free podcast, over a million downloads to date on that. They're very practical and fun, so birthorderguy.com, you can find out more about me than you want to know. Neil told me I had to hurry. I only got 30 minutes, so I'm going to talk a little quicker than I normally do. But I've written a lot of books, 63 to be exact, and a couple of them are good. And one of them I wrote, I'm going to be speaking on today, called The Way of the Wise. And it's King Solomon, you know. He was the smartest king of them all, he said. And this little book is premised on Proverbs 3. Now, just like Josh was one of our key volunteers here. He got up and shared. He came to church on the beach, and he was an atheist, didn't give a hoot. Well, my mother dragged me to church, God bless her. But I had no use for church. I hated church, to put it bluntly. Certainly didn't know God. I mean, I've got a good friend of mine right down here, Dickie Brown. Dick and I grew up together in Williamsville. He would attest to the fact that he didn't hear me talking about God. We were teenagers. We did all kinds of things we could serve time for. But anyway, this little chapter 3, is downright profound. And Proverbs is sort of a guide for everyday living. It covers about every one of us. And I just want you to hear this scripture. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commandments in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. A couple things. Notice the word paths. We don't have one path in life. A lot of paths in life. We get knocked down. Some of us get up and come back. And again, King Solomon, he was the brightest, smartest one of them all. And notice, there's heart is used three times in this little passage. And if, humor me for a second. Just point to yourself real quick. And where do we point to? We point to our heart. And I grew up, again, in Williamsville, graduated fourth of my class in high school, which sounds pretty good, but unfortunately it was fourth in the bottom and not fourth in the top. In fact, one of my vivid memories was sitting in one of those little circles we did in first grade where they're teaching us to read, hopefully. And I remember this little girl next to me. She had a 3-inch jar of white paste. You remember that? That was part and parcel to elementary education. And I remember looking over at her, and she had her index finger down in it, and she's eating the paste. And I have a vivid memory at age 6 of telling myself, I know I don't belong in this group. But God bless the school system. And I was a slow learner, the baby of the family. My sister was brighter than bright, and so was my brother, and I was a goofball. And so I couldn't get in college. All the kids were going to college. I couldn't get to college. I went to my guidance counselor. His name was Massino. I said, Mr. Massino, I'd like to go into college, onto a university. He said, Lehman, I couldn't get you admitted to reform school. I finally got in college. Proof of the living God, although I didn't know him then. Eked out a C-minus average. The next year, I got thrown out by a dean for stealing the conscience fund, which was just, trust me, it was just a prank. I still think it was funny. But they threw me out of school, came down to Tucson, Arizona, where I now live, got a job as a janitor. You talk about God works in mysterious ways. My life changed almost instantly one day. I was holding a broom. Now, notice I wasn't using the broom. I was holding the broom. And this 5-foot-9-inch chick walks down the hallway. Now, I want all you women to notice this is a male skill. Watch as she walks down the hallway. I'm going, whoa, where did she come from? And so I paid another janitor $5 to introduce me to this chick. Well, that same day, I'm mopping down the men's room. You can't make up a story like this. And who should walk in the men's room but my bride-to-be? And I was shocked. I was always good at saying this too. I didn't know what to say. I said, would you like to go to the World's Fair with me? The World's Fair is in New York City. This is Tucson, Arizona. I'm making $195 a month. But I'm not going to give you the whole story. But she was the one that God used that triggered my whole life. Walking out of a church one night, feeling clean for the first time, God gave me motivation. I went back to school. And the miracle of it all was 10 years later, I was a dean of students at the University of Arizona. So, you know, God always uses extraordinary people to do those extraordinary things. And I wasn't teachable when I was growing up. I knew everything, like a lot of you did as kids. And one of the things that Solomon is trying to teach us here is that you have to be teachable. Welcome to the Kiwanis Club. What is that? You have to be teachable. And one of the chapters in this book is called Jesus and God, Jesus and God. That's all they do at that church is talk about Jesus and God. And that came out of the mouth of a little 5-year-old kid. And my friend Chuck Swindoll, you may not know Chuck's name, maybe you do. He's a wonderful Bible teacher, been a friend for years. But he tells a story about walking into a 7th grade boys Sunday school class, if you can imagine what that's like. And he asked the boys, he says, boys, what's green and says ribbit? And nobody says a word. Not a word. Hey, boys, come on. What's green and says ribbit? One kid finally ponies up. He says, well, I think it's a frog, but I'll say Jesus. Well, if you're in church, the answer's got to be Jesus. No, the answer is a frog. And see, some of us are adults are like that because we don't connect the dots. I'm looking back at my life, and is there a God? Well, I guess there's a God, but I didn't know who he was. He certainly didn't have any impact on my life on a daily basis. And you know, the heathens of the world, they believe that amino acids gathered in space years ago, and from that we got camels, dogs, cats, centipedes, and you and I. Now, I would point out those are people of great faith, a different kind of faith, but nevertheless a great faith. We see in God's word the prophecy, the prediction, the truth that Jesus Christ was going to be born. But we read about it 700 years before it happened. We see the very words that Jesus spoke on the cross in Psalm 22 a thousand years before he ever said them. So moving from head knowledge up here, a lot of people have a cerebral idea who God is, to a heartfelt commitment, that's a big trip. And that's the life-changing trip that I experienced when I was just 21 years of age. I like to remind people that Jesus came to this earth not to start a new religion. He came to this earth to put an end to religion. It's about a relationship with the living God. My little granddaughter, Adeline, was 6 years old, and she had lost a tooth. And I was tucking her in. And by the way, is there a difference in how grandma tucks in a grandchild and grandpa? Very much so. Grandma takes about 2.5 hours. I take 30 seconds. I use Dr. Lehman ether cloths. They're very effective for you parents. Zach, you'll have to get some of those. They work great. But anyway, I'm tucking her in, and all of a sudden she says to me, Grandpa, what's the tooth fairy look like? What's the tooth fairy look like? Well, I'm scrambling like a Bills quarterback on a Sunday afternoon. and I am backpedaling, and all of a sudden I pulled it out of my back pocket. I said, Tooth Fairy looks just like Tinkerbell, just like Tinkerbell. And you know what she said to that? She said, thank you, Grampy. I love you, Grampy. Good night, Grampy. And she was gone. That's what they called childlike faith. Mary was probably 14, 15 years old when an angel came to her and said, Mary, I got some news for you. You're going to have a baby. Well, what did she say? Did she say, are you kidding me? Are you out of your mind? No, she said, let everything you say come true just as you said it. See, that's that childlike faith we need to have to live the Christian life. I've got a chapter in the book called Attention Walmart Shoppers, Jesus Has Left the Building. We don't serve a cheap God. We serve a jealous God who wants all of us. He gives us the best. He gave us his son, the perfect one. But I love to tell a story because the butterball turkey people, for you Canadians, I know Thanksgiving's in October. I try to be culturally relevant. And in November, they open up the hotline, and if you don't know how to cook a turkey, you can call and get help. Well, this is a true story. A lady calls in and says, yeah, I got a turkey been frozen for 9 years, and I want to know if I can use it. And the woman said, well, I don't know, I have to check. And she checks with her supervisor. She comes back and says, well, tell you the truth, if it's been frozen the whole time, it's actually safe. But, you know, just between you and me, I don't think I'd take a chance on that. You know what the woman said on the other phone? She said, you know what? I think I'll donate it to the church. And I'm here to tell you, Almighty God doesn't want a few papas fritas, a few French fries. He wants the whole enchilada. He wants all of us. And that's what that heartfelt commitment is all about. You know, Jesus did things perfectly well. You notice when he healed the blind man didn't say with one eye closed, I can see the big E on the chart. He jumped up. He says, I was blind and now I see. And when he brought Lazarus back from the death, you didn't see Lazarus come out of that tomb and walk six steps and then hear a thud. Jesus always did things perfectly right. One of my favorite chapters in the book of John is John 2, where we see the first miracle of Jesus. And the guy tastes the wine. He says, boy, you're different from most. He got that right. He gives us the best. And so many times I see these Kmart Christians, I want to just punch them out, you know, in a Christian-loving way, of course, you know that. But you know, we serve God. I mean, you take a look around. Who created this? Everything around here had a beginning. God had no beginning. God has always been. Wrap that around your mind, freshman philosophy student at the university. That's a tough one to tackle, that God has always existed. And so I found these people in the Bible I thought I would encourage you with. I mean, these guys are dumb. I mean, they didn't get it. We call them the disciples. And these are the guys who walked and talked with Jesus. They saw him perform miracles. They saw him feed 5,000 with a couple loaves of bread and some fish. They saw him change the water into wine. I mean, all these miracles before their eyes. And Jesus gets them together in John 14, it's recorded. And he gets up and he says, hey, fellas, listen, I'm going to paraphrase this Lehman style. I'll probably get in trouble someday for this, Lord. Forgive me. But he gets everybody together. He says, hey, listen up. Hey, put your fork down. This is important. Eyes up front. I'm going to leave you guys. I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you guys. And again, you talk about Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber. Thomas gets up and he says, Lord, we don't have the foggiest idea where you're going. And then Philip gets in the act. He says, yeah, show us the Father and then we'll know. What does Jesus say to Philip? Philip, after all this time with me, you've been with me, you don't know who I am. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then there's this guy named St. Paul. Do you know how many churches exist with St. Paul's name on it throughout North America? I mean, there's thousands of them. He calls himself wretched. Do you ever feel like you don't measure up? You're not good enough? I got news for you. You're in good company. I mean, look at Moses. You know, he never got to the Promised Land. He led the children of Israel through the Red Sea, but he never got to the Promised Land. Noah, he's a big one. He's a big one. We got a big boat. I heard he built a big boat. And what did he do after that? He got naked and drunk. I mean, My favorite's King David, a man after God's own what? Heart. And what does he do? You know the story. He's out in his castle one day looking around and gets his binoculars out and checks out this good-looking chick across the way. And he goes, whoa. And you know the story. He had an affair with her, had her husband murdered, essentially, into war, and a man after God's own heart. So do you have to be perfect to come to Jesus? No, you can't come to Jesus perfectly, but you have to come with your heart. I've often said, when you flaunt your imperfection, when you realize how crummy and imperfect you are standing just by yourself, then you're ready for the grace that only the good Lord can give you. That's when you grow, when you understand what that true grace is all about. The scripture says, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Well, who believed in you? Look at your life right now. Who believed in you? How did you get to where you are? All of us have somebody in our past who believed in us. Without that person, you wouldn't be where you are today. I've said many times, if you see a turtle on a fence post, you know he didn't get there by himself. And a lot of us here on the beach this morning can point to people who believed in us anyway. John Wooden, the great basketball coach at UCLA, who I think he won 10 or 11 national titles. You know, he never told his team to go out and win. I took note of that. He never told them to win. He told them to play the game of basketball the way it needs to be played. And I would tell you, you need to live the Christian life, play the Christian life, the way it needs to be played. My favorite chapter in The Way of the Wise is this. The title is, You're the Potter, I'm the Clay, but I do have a few suggestions. Isn't that just like us? Oh, Lord, you're the Potter, I'm the Clay, mold me. But, Lord, I got a few ideas for you. I got news for you. That little, license plate that says, God's my co-pilot. I got news for you. He ain't your co-pilot. He's the pilot. And we win favor in the sight of God and man by living the life we need to live. You know, when you get old, like me, they start doing things like you get invited to be on someone's Hall of Fame or Wall of Fame, and they give you honorary doctorate degrees and those kind of things, which are okay. But when I got the call from my high school in Williamsville, New York, that they wanted to put me on their Wall of Fame, I laughed and sort of teared up at the same time. I said, what was that? Would you repeat that? And I said, when is it? I didn't check my schedule. I said, I'll be there. I want to be there for that one. And on the way up, I took my mother up from Jamestown, New York area to the Buffalo area to Williamsville for the ceremony. I had the best conversation with my mother, who really loved God with all of her heart. And she said to me, she said, honey, I am so proud of you. Just between you and me, I was her favorite. I had an older sister who was perfect, a brother who was near perfect, and that's one of the reasons why I was so imperfect. I am a shrink. I figured that out. But she was just going off about, I am so proud of you, honey. And I said, remember the night the Amherst police brought me home? And she said, oh, I do. But you were such a good boy. I said, Mom, remember the night I got nailed driving golf balls toward the New York State Thruway? She said, oh, I do. But you were such a good boy. Do you remember the time I received the stolen sweaters from Ronecker's Menswear in Williamsville, New York? One of my fraternity brothers got drunk, broke in, stole a bunch of sweaters. And I didn't realize that's called receiving stolen goods. I mean, I was dumb as a rock. But she also echoed, oh, I do, but you are such a good boy. And all I could think of was Romans 8:39, where it says, nothing separates you from the love of Christ. And what I figured out, and maybe some of you figured this out as well in your own life, God had his hand on me long before I knew him. And he really wants what's best for us. And there's a plan for our life, believe it or not. Some of us, we're still wandering. We're in our 50s, 60s, 70s, and we still haven't figured it out, that God is God. There's a great little verse in Psalm 46:10, I think it is, be still and know that I'm God. You know, when you pray, that's when you listen to God. That's your opportunity to hear from him what he wants in your life. Over in the Song of Solomon, in the second verse, second chapter, 15th verse, it says, the little foxes are ruining the vineyards. I'd love to ask people the question, what are the little foxes in your life? What are the little things that are keeping you from perfect peace with your Heavenly Father? Whatever those things are, you have to tackle those. You have to man up, pardon the expression, women. You have to man up to what's in your life that keeps you from knowing God the Father. The amazing thing is, you can talk to the creator of the universe as you're driving down the QEW. And you should pray before you get on the QEW, by the way. Or the 190, we'll make this international. But you can talk to the living God, the creator of the universe. I don't know what's cooler than that, that you can talk to him. You know the sin you're going to commit this week? The sin you're going to commit this week, listen to me, it's already forgiven. It's already forgiven. He loves you that much. And not many of us experience that kind of love that, you know, God sent Jesus to die on that cross. That was a brutal way to die. And did Jesus want to get on that cross? I'm here to tell you he didn't want to get on that cross. Remember this, Jesus was 100% human and 100% God. Try that trick. See if that gets on America's Got the Talent or whatever my wife makes me watch. Here's a question on this Sunday morning. Can you be a better Christian? I'll warn you, it's a sucker question. Can you be a better Christian? Some people think, well, yeah, I could be a better, I do this. No, you can't be a better Christian. Either believe or you don't. It's like asking someone if you can be better pregnant. And the Lehmans are experts in pregnancies. You know, some of us as Christians love to speak in Christianese. We love Christianese. God laid on my heart. Yes, he did. He laid on my heart. I'm reminded of the time there was a guy in our church. He had a great voice, and he closed his concert. I could give you his name. You'd all know him. And he closed it with a song by tribute, "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." I walked up to him afterward, and I like it when people say, hey, Lehman, I enjoyed you or whatever. That never gets old. But I just walked up to the guy and said, hey, thank you, that was great. And the guy looks at me with a straight look. He says, oh, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. And all I could think of was, I thought, I could have sworn I saw that guy's lips moving. But see, speaking in Christianese isn't going to bring anybody into the kingdom of God. Acting like you got everything together in your back pocket isn't going to bring somebody to be close to God. But being a good friend and saying, hey, what can I do to help? How can I roll up my sleeves and just love you? How can I service you? That's what true servant leadership is all about. Well, I brought something along with me, demonstrate a point. This is a extension cord. It's 6 feet long, a few inches taller than I am. And if you look at this cord, it's pretty useless. It doesn't do much. But if you plug this into a power base, then all good things happen here. But I ask you this morning, where's your power base? Do you know Almighty God in a personal way? You can't be halfway committed. You can't have just that cerebral understanding of who Almighty God is. You got to know him. And check this out. He wants to know you. The scripture says that Almighty God even knows the number of hairs on our head. So where is it that you need help? Because he says, if you'll bring your needs to me, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. So where do you need help? Is it with your kids, your marriage? Is it financial? It certainly is spiritual. We all have that need. But when you tap into the power of Almighty God, then great things can happen in your life. There's an old song. We don't sing songs in the church, old hymns anymore. But one of my old favorites is Trust and Obey, because there's no other way. It's interesting. You know, in the past, couple of months, I've gone through some things that have really been tough personally. I have some schools out west, charter schools, six of them, one in the state of Colorado and five in Arizona. And we've had some real challenges that became very personal. It's interesting because my mother, who dragged me to Joy Club, it was pitiful. It was terrible. I hated it. Now, some of you are old enough to remember flannel graphs. They had flannel graphs. There were no videos. There weren't anything. I mean, it was brutal. And Joy Club, I still remember, as much as I hated it, stood for Jesus, Others, and You. And through this turmoil I went through in the last couple of months, it was interesting what happened to me. Because I found myself singing some of the songs my mother taught me as a kid. In the middle of the night, just sort of praying, but singing the song. My mother put a couple plaques in my bedroom as a kid, and I hated both of them. And one was a picture of Jesus knocking on the door. And the other was just a simple plaque that said, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. It's interesting. If you're interested, I'm 70. How old am I, honey? 76 coming, September morning. I'm old. I'm near death. But isn't it interesting? Here's a woman who prayed for me all my life as a little kid. And when the chips are down, what comes back? And some of you parents, you've laid awake at night. I know. You look at the crack in the ceiling. You're worried about your prodigal son or daughter. But you know, God is just. He's true. And he's faithful. And you cast all your fears upon God. And he'll change your life just like he did mine. I wonder how many people here this morning, you look at this extension cord, say, you know, Lehman, that's sort of like my life. I'm just the extension cord. I've never made that commitment. We talk to people all the time who've fallen away from faith and come back. Maybe you're one of those people. But on this great Sunday morning, maybe this is the time for you. Maybe this is your moment, just like mine was in a Sunday evening service many, many years ago, where I first made that initial commitment to follow Christ. He became real. Where are you today? Can you be a better Christian? You need to mow up off that spot. You're going to spend eternity someplace. You're either going to spend it with Almighty God in all of his splendor, or you're going to be like rubbish burning outside the town. What is it? What's that commitment going to be? Let me pray for us now, and we're going to come and have a little music. Lord, thanks for this day. Thank you for your eternal truth that you love us and you care about us. Lord, I pray for every person here, every family here right now, if they haven't come to that wonderful understanding of who you are and the wonderful your son Jesus is, that moment will be now. In the quietness of your heart, folks, you don't have to come forward. You don't have to slip your hand up. You don't have to do a thing. You don't have to clean up. He says, come as you are. You say, but Lehman, I struggle with this and I struggle with that. Hey, we all struggle with different things. But he wants you to have fellowship with him. A simple prayer that says, Lord, you know, I have lived my own life. I've been in control. I've been behind the driver's seat. I put you in the back seat. I want to change that. I want to please you in all things I do. That's possible this morning. A new trajectory in your life. A new sense of freedom and cleanliness and righteousness can be yours. You know, when God looks at us, folks, he's like those little pictures that are on refrigerators all over North America that little kids have drawn. I love this analogy because he looks at us as imperfect people. Keep in mind, you're in good company with people like St. Paul and the others, the great heroes of the Christian church who failed. So make that, I pray, Lord, that people will make that commitment right now in their heart to choose Jesus and eternity with you, Father. In Jesus' holy name, I pray. Amen.